I love that we sang about grace because the title of this message is Winds of Grace. Wow. Winds of Grace. Sometimes I think we treat grace like the bellhop. It takes our bags, it opens our doors, it gets us saved, but once we're in, we don't longer need it. It's our faith, it's our gifting, it's our hope. We went to the right conferences and they raised their hands up and there's grace to the side. But friends, you need Jesus today just as much as when you got saved. The difference is we don't recognize it. A drug addict knows he needs Jesus when they get saved, but after we were Christians for a while, we still need grace. It's called the winds of grace because in the Bible, the Spirit, the wind represents the grace, and it was like a rushing wind. It wasn't a rushing wind. It was the Spirit of God, but that's all that they could describe it, and he came in. He went in every area, and see, wind can start up, and it can take you to places you don't know. I read about a tornado. I mean, they can go up to 300 miles an hour. This couple was just, they knew the tornado was coming. They got in the bathroom. They just said they felt a little rumble. No big deal. They walk outside. Their entire house is in another location. The winds of grace can do that. It can put you in another place. But before I do that, I want to hit last week's message. I think it was too important to miss. Pastor Allen, he brought a word, and I felt like there was like $1 million left on the table. What we need to get over in this church is familiarity. And that, see, in the body of Christ, when you go hear a guest speaker, some of these messages, and I'm not talking me, I'm talking Pastor Allen, Lena, Easy. If that was at a conference, you'd tweet it, you'd put it on Facebook. But since you know them, that's just them. And see, many people didn't receive Jesus because it was a carpenter's son. It didn't come in the package they thought. Surely he would have been the son of a scribe or a Pharisee, but it was a carpenter's son, so it offended him. We need to get over familiarity. It may not be the package you like or the voice you like. I maybe preach too loud, but is it a word from God? And so my prayer today is that God will touch your life, not John, because I can't extend to you. And one of the definitions of grace, yes, you know, unmerited favor. We say that, and Lena talked about it. You know, it's unmerited, it's undeserved. But there's many definitions of grace, and I'm going to talk about grace today. But let me just say, one message can't do it. One of my favorite teachers, he does series. He goes after every time I preach, someone come up to me and go, "Did you know you could have used this scripture? Do you know you could have said this? I could have." So I realize that. We will never exhaust grace. It's like talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You took all the sermons together. I remember this prophetic guy I love. He goes, "I saw a vision one time of Jesus on the sand of the seashores, and all the sand, there was one blue pebble in his hands." And he goes, "This is all the knowledge you have of me. Of all the men that have ever lived, this is it." He's inexhaustible. That's why they, you know, the holy, holy, holy. He did not create beings and says, "You say holy, holy, holy." What he did was, "I'm going to show you an aspect of me." And that was their response to him. So Alan, last week when he talked, I listened to the message again. I just took some notes. If you weren't here and missed it, or if you were here and missed it, get it? Because the truth of the matter is Alan talked about how it was a prophetic message and it had to do with prophetic words and promises. And see, if you remember, a while back, Alan says, "We're moving." Before we had a church building, we're moving. But the problem is we waited so long, we were scared to say it's a real building. Let's go back. It could be spiritual moving. It could be. Just in case we don't get it, you know, if the word didn't come to pass. Alan even said, he said, "I knew it was physical. I didn't want to say it." Why? Because it's like on dead ground. Am I right? And so he knew. So last week it was about prophetic promises. And here's the problem. When it's so long coming, but the Bible says hope against hope. But he talked about we need to have a listening ear. Jesus says, "Those that have ears, let them hear." It's not hearing the words, it's understanding what's said. You can be in a revival and not in it. You can be at the meeting and not in it. It says listening ears to what God said. And what was God saying last week? He was saying, you know, Alan says there's a little, you know, the mobile, right? Those little babies that go round and round. He says we need to stimulate our focus. Come into view like never before. The longer the baby stares, now they can see clarity. It can put in details and lack of attention towards it. See, what we give attention to, what we honor means to bring value and weight. And what you bring honor to, you can receive from. I know a man, he's a great prophetic voice, went to a church, they did not receive him. He could go to other places, they would line up to get prayer. This church didn't receive him. Why? Same man, same seed, different soil, different response. It's not the parable of the seed, it's the parable of the soils. Same sermon, same word, different response, different soils. Some are joyful on Sunday and Monday they're not. No, some receive him for a minute, some are excited. Different soils, same seed. A sower went out to sow seed, not different seed. The word of God is good seed. It was different soils. So we need to have listening ears to what God says, not what man says. I don't care how big their church is, how popular they are. We need to hear the voice of God. When it's all said and done and the line is split, God is truth, man is lie. So he goes, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Why is this important, John? Why are you talking about this? Because I don't know what he was preaching on, but last Saturday, before he was preaching, I just felt like God was speaking to me. It was out of the blue. I wasn't reading. I wasn't praying. And God said, the rain reveals what's in the seeds. The rain doesn't bring the seeds. It brings forth what's in the seeds. And I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, so here's a rainstorm. It can rain on farmland. It can rain on a little girl's flower shit that she planted in the backyard. It can bring water to a creek. John, what are you saying? Every promise from different families, from different fields, you can come for one day or 2 weeks, the rain can expose it. Because it reveals the seeds, but it exposes the weed. See, what does that mean? It means we expose the weeds, and it exposes things in our life, not so we can look and point, so we can pull it out by the root. I used to love to weed eat. Can you imagine me weed eating? I was like, this is flying, hitting the window. It looked good for a little bit, but I didn't get the root. And what happens is I just want to get the weeds. I just want to look better, but I don't want to get the root. But when the rain comes, it exposes the weed, and it reveals the seed, because there's things in it. When it really rains, all of a sudden you go, I don't know that was there. And promises, the last I was getting ready for today, and the last song I heard on the worship was called I See a Cloud. Alan talked about last week, I See a Cloud. And it says, Lord, we receive your rain. Because some ground doesn't receive the rain. Lord, we receive your rain. See, he says, I just feel in my spirit that the rain is about to make landfall. He referred to Sabbath sermon about focusing on Jesus, one thing. I'll say this. So a couple weeks ago, Lena asked Sabbath to pray for some, healings in the building. And Sabbath gets up and he says, buildings, not just one building, buildings. I don't know if you remember that. Buildings. Alan was the last one to sit down, the anointing. We're not even in this building yet. We don't even have this thing paid off. God, how could you say that? Because it's by grace. See, so many times we want to know the what, the how's it going to happen, the when's it going to happen. Grace is a who. Grace is a who. Amen? So we need to be excited about the word. We say, okay, God, the rain's about to hit shore. I want my seed to be exposed to the water. Because what happens is that hard outside of the shell, it gets softened and the seed begins to grow. And then all of a sudden goes, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know this. What could that mean? That could mean God can bring up old promises again and old thoughts and old things about how promises long dead and go, and things that you've sown in sorrow or things that you forgot about or seeds that the enemy stole and he can bring back. I had a secretary. There was a secretary at work, and she knows I'm a believer. And she goes, John, she goes, I know you're a believer and God brings lost things back. She goes, I lost my ring. I went on a trip and I lost my ring. It has a lot of sentimental value too. I love it. I go, let's just pray. I pray you get it back. The next day she goes, I didn't find it. I go, you didn't find it yet. Next day I go, did you find your ring? She goes, I found it. I go, where was it? It was a bag in a trunk. I didn't even put it in. Then she goes, John, a week later, she goes, we pray for my daughter. I says, do you remember you prayed for the ring? How valuable that ring was to you? I go, do you know your daughter is far more valuable to God? He can bring lost things back. And that's what the seeds can do. Like, you found the ring. How much more? I go, I know you love her. God loves her more. As much as you search for that ring, he'll search for the daughter, lost things back. There's people that we've lost. And I have family members yet to be saved. My brother used to cut his arms, drive drunk on Las Vegas, and I would pray to God to save him. I didn't even have to talk to him. Those seeds went to heaven. The rain, what's rain from? Rain is from dust. All the dry times in your life, the dust raises up, the water molecule, the rain comes from the dryness. It just doesn't appear. All the dryness, and Alan says he talked about when you feel a big storm, you can feel the atmosphere changing, friend. You can feel it. See, grace is a person. Just recently I went to a conference. It was a Vietnamese conference. I was a minister I love, and all these people were there, and they had signs, and they were saying, welcome. Nothing was in English. It was all Vietnamese. And when they saw me, they smiled, and the old saints, I don't know their stories, they would shake me. Friends, when grace comes in, your problems get in line. It's a person. It's not a thing. It's an aspect of his character. But let me just tell you what grace isn't. I'm going to take 3 minutes for this, because what happens is people say, this is grace, this is grace, this is grace, that's grace. I want to talk 3 minutes because I want to kill this, because God doesn't say in Genesis, I created the world, and he says in Revelation, no, I didn't create the world. He's not confused. Man's confused. God says sin, I call it sin. You can call it a mistake. You can call it an error. I'm going to call what God says. He says, the Mormons come to my door. Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door. They say Jesus, but the definition is different. So people can say grace, but the definition is different. We got to get the definition straight. I talked to one. They believe Jesus was created. I told one Mormon, I say, the Jesus you talk about does not even exist. There's not 5,000 Jesuses. There's one. Begotten doesn't mean created, it means one of a kind, special, in a different category. That's what it means. So they come and they try to tell me that. I says, your definition is wrong. I was in the eighth grade. My friend, Kevin Coons, eighth grade. He goes, hey, you want to come to my Mormon church? I mean, want to come to my church? I go, what kind of church is it? He goes, Mormon. I go, Kevin, what do you guys believe? He goes, I don't know. I go, I'll let you know. I went home. Before Google and all these things, I had a little pamphlet. And it had Mormonism, Islam, Jehovah's Witness. What do they believe? I zeroed in on one thing, Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? That ends it all. So Kevin comes back the next day. We're all sitting around eighth graders. I go, Kevin, you guys believe God's flesh. The Bible says God's a spirit. You say Jesus was created. He wasn't created. I go, I'm not going to any church. It's a cult. And all the kids around him go, Kevin's in a cult. They didn't even know what a cult was. But they're going, Kevin's in a cult. He just looked at me. And how can an eighth grader do that, but adults all of a sudden just take it for a word because some major speaker said, this is grace. We don't go back to the word. God, what did you say? I know he's slick. I know he's got a private jet. I know he's got thousands of people watching him. But when he stands before God, it's one-on-one, honey. There's no fans. There's no likes on Facebook. That'll be the end of it. The Bible says the books were open and the court sat. That is the final judgment. How many people liked you? There's pastors that pastor 30, and they'll have great rewards because they did what he said. Unknown on earth, but known in heaven. I'm the only prophet. No, I have 7,000 more like you. You just don't know it. Because they don't have a big name. Their name's not in the Bible, but they'll be in heaven. I'm the only prophet. There's 7,000 more like you that haven't bowed the knee, but let me go back to you. I know you think you're special, son, but I'm special. So what isn't grace? Grace isn't doing what you want. Grace is doing what he wants. So I want to read some scriptures. Then I'm going to talk about an aspect of grace. Because one of the definitions of grace in Hebrew means to lean towards. As one superior to an inferior. And friends, when heaven leans towards us, when there's a child that needs help, God help me, the Father leans towards. And I still need his help. And so we have faith to get healing or faith to get this or faith to get this. What about faith in his grace? I have more faith in his grace than my gifting. I have more faith in his grace than my knowledge or my wisdom or everything I'll ever learn. I have more faith in his grace. When I read the Old Testament, we think God was mean in the old and nice in the new. No, he wasn't. The difference is his requirements were met. Justice says, I want to be fully satisfied. And mercy says, I want to be fully satisfied. So they struggled for thousands of years. Justice and mercy. He's just and he's merciful. Because he's merciful, he waits a long time. But because he's just, there must be an ending. So he's justful and he's merciful. Where are they going to come? They came on a hill called Calvary where justice and mercy both were fully satisfied. Justice was fully satisfied because it was met. Mercy was fully satisfied because mercy stepped in. The cross, everything was satisfied. Where is that table where they sat down and made that contract? It's on the communion table. That's where it was made. So all the people say grace, grace, grace. No, what you're saying is grace, Bible grace. So for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to people. So let me just tell you what it's not, 3 minutes, and then I want to move on to one aspect where God leans down and helps you. You're stuck. You can't move. He helps you. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to people. It teaches us, what teaches us? Grace, to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, not yes. There's teachings that say you can do whatever you want. He'll forgive you. There's a difference between struggling with sin and not calling something sin. There's a huge difference. Don't get confused. You can be a Christian and struggle with anything. I mean, homosexuality, God, I hate this. I know it's sin. But it's very different to go, that's not sin. I just called it sin. You're calling God a liar. So either you are lying or God's lying. Pick which one is. It says, and then in Galatians 5, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual morality, impurity, debauchery. Those are the things they say we can do because of grace. The Bible is clear. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. It's funny how it throws hatred and with sexual morality and purity. We think we can hate people. It's no big deal. Friends, hatred. God hates you hating people. Of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envies. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Friend, that is very clear. Then it goes on to say, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice is sins is left. That is the scariest scripture to me. But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume. Doesn't mean we're perfect. But it means when you recognize God says that sin, we just say, God, I agree with you, that's sin. No, that's not sin. I can just do whatever I want. I can sleep with that wife, kill that man. It's not sin. But we got to understand, God doesn't put labels because of his mercy and grace. David took a man's wife, had him killed. But you know what? When God was talking in first person, he never brought it up again. Only man did. He goes, not like my servant David. But he didn't go, except for that. He never put that label on him. So we have to receive his grace, but we also have to extend it to other people. We don't put labels on them. They're the one that hurt me. Well, I forgive them, but I'm going to go this way so I don't have to talk to them. And so the same grace we receive, we show to others. Amen? Okay, now I can get to, and I hate that I have to talk like this. You shouldn't have to. You should be able to teach about grace and people not twist it. But they do. And where is the itching ears at the last days that will heap to themselves having itching ears? When you have an itch, you want it scratched, and you'll go to the person that scratches. I don't like what he says. I don't like what he says. Oh, I like what he says. He says I can live wherever I want. I had one guy tell me, he goes, you know, I don't like the church, you know, talk about holiness and this. I go, I didn't come up with that. I go, that's not my idea, that's God's. I go, if it was up to me, I go, I'll take your wife, his wife, and his wife. And he was stunned. Here I am, a Christian witnessing to him. I'll take your wife, his wife, and his wife. Is that wrong? It's only wrong because God says, not because I say, and not because you say. Now, I didn't talk to him like that, but all of a sudden, he like stunned him. Like, the moral law is because God said. In the beginning, God, not man. It wasn't a council. Let's make the Ten Commandments. It was God, amen? And Jesus met it all. So when you receive him, so undeserved, yes. But in Hebrew, see, we're blessed because we get to receive the word grace in Hebrew and in Greek. Amen? We can receive both. The blessing of Abraham's on our lives. Our Bible does not start in the book of John. It starts in Genesis. And we see grace and mercy because he says, when he said Moses, he goes, the one before you, the Lord, graceful and merciful to you. God described himself like that. Yes, he's holy. Yes, he's right. And it had to be met, but Jesus met it. And now the grace gives us power to do it. Amen. So, I feel like grace, sometimes we get, and the winds of grace is like, you know, just three words, God help me. And I'm going to use an example of healing, and I'm going to use an example of a light bulb. What are you talking about? I heard this guy, he was preaching. I mean, he was talking about, he goes, you know, this guy came up to me, and he goes, he brought this guy. He was out of it. He looked like a zombie. He goes, you know, this person prayed for him. This person prayed for him. He's naming everybody that I read their books, everybody that I follow, everybody that I he goes, if you want to pray for him. He goes, it's like a default, you know. So he goes, I prayed for him. And he goes, nothing happened. He goes, I stepped back. He goes, I don't like not having results. So I said, God, help me. God, help me. And God said, rebuke the spirit of kabuki. And in his mind, he goes, that's a Japanese restaurant. And he goes, I rebuke you, spirit of kabuki. And all of a sudden, the guy's like this. And he goes, then this is working. He goes, you spirit of kabuki. and he came out. And the guy came to his right mind. What happened? I was in Africa. The kabuka tribe did a ritual on me. And the guy goes, you're more anointed than so-and-so. He goes, wait, stop. I just got a word of knowledge. And I say, go back one step further. You ask for God's help. See, you, when you come to the end of all your knowledge, whatever you worked before, all of a sudden grace can come in. But it's a little side thing. In 9/11, there was these guys in a, it's a side thing until we let it be the main thing. It's the grace of God that gives you gift. The only reason you have faith is because grace. The only reason you have a desire to pray is because grace. The only reason faith gets stirred up is because grace. He didn't deserve it. He wasn't more anointed than those guys. He just simply stepped back and asked for help. I was at Pastor Allen's house some years ago. He had a house, and I was doing these works, and I was in the attic. And he's getting ready to sell it. And he goes, man, I want this doorbell to ring. So I get in his attic, and I'm like, let me look at it. Either the doorbell would ring or the hallway light would work. And I'm telling you what, they both wouldn't work at once. Up, I'm in the attic. It looked like the entire neighborhood's electrical system was in that attic. It was not red, green. It was not nice conduit. It would look like a nest. And I thought to myself, how did this house pass inspection? That's what I thought. So I'm working. I have my limits. I know about construction. I know some electrical theory. I've been in foreign countries. I work with 220, 110. I put up bigger machines. I was at my limit. I was maxed out. And that's what happens in life. We want a solution. Sometimes we come to the end. And I just stopped and I says, God, help me. His grace came in. And I remember God brought to my mind, in my memory, years before, I'm in a room doing construction. There was two electricians over there. I don't know the company. I didn't work with them. I don't know the men. I didn't meet with them. And one yelled out to the other. Sometimes the neutral is used as, and he said something. I can't even tell you today what it is. It came in my mind. I pictured it, and I go, I got it, even before I did it. And I did it. Ding dong, light works. John, what's your point? It doesn't matter if you're raising kids, trying to get somebody healed, can't get a doorbell to work. When you stop and say, God, help me, grace can come in. Grace can come in when you ask for it. But we put them to the side. Now I'm saved. Now this person laid hands on me. I got an impartation. I know all these things. They did what always worked before, and it didn't work. One person said, God, help me. Because they just go, next. Just keep believing. Next. Nothing wrong with that. He's not as anointed. Those guys have crusades, healings. But in this instance, they needed God more than they realized. Friends, I'm saying when we come to a pass, you've prayed for the same thing. You've asked for the same thing. You've tried to use your faith. You're like, I need faith for that healing. I need faith for that money. And you talk about, how's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? And all of a sudden, we need to look to the who, grace. And grace can step in. Grace is a person in Jesus Christ. 9/11. Three people were in an elevator, two in suits, one in a janitor with a mop bucket. They didn't know what was happening in the atmosphere. The plane hit. They didn't know they're in an elevator and it comes to a complete stop. Instantly, they're on their phones because it always worked in the past. They would call their assistants. These $1,000 suits and these expensive guys, and there's a guy with the janitor. It always worked. They just call and they get out. Hey, let me call the front desk, fix this elevator. Nothing's moving. They don't realize their life is coming to an end. The janitor takes his mop, pries open the elevator, straight drywall. They're more educated than him. They get paid more than him. I bet you when he walked in the hallways, people didn't even recognize his voice. When they walked in the office, hey, Mr. Smith, hey, Mr. Archer, hey, Mr. Not the janitor. Who talks to the janitor? That's like grace in the church. You've given us entrance. You've opened the door. But now that we're here, it's my gift. It's my skill. It's my wisdom. It's my knowledge. It's my education. It's who I know. We still need grace. So there he was. He took the mop bucket. Boom, broke the drywall. Poked the hole. He's in the back of a cabinet. Opens the doors. Recognizes that bathroom because he's cleaned it before. And he let him out to safety. They didn't know who was the most important person at that moment. The janitor. And I always thought, I wonder if they thanked him. I wonder if they bought him a lunch. He got him out. Diddle did they know. Their cell phones. It always worked in the past. Who they are. Always worked in the past. Always greet him. And that guy, that mop bucket, he just busted it out. Recognized the floor. Got him down. Lived. That's grace. But they had to bend down to get through. And sometimes we need to humble ourselves. God, we still need you. We still need you. I don't want to get my suit dirty. I don't want to go in that water 7 times. It's too dirty. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from a woman. I don't want to hear from this. Friends, we need to humble ourselves in grace. It wasn't that you got a word of knowledge. It's that you said, God, help me. Because he could have brought a little old lady. He could have got freed at that moment. God just chose to do word of knowledge. And when you say, God, I don't care how you do it. I just need your help. What have you been praying for, seeking for, asking for, and nothing's changed? Maybe, just maybe, we need grace to step in. Bible says we enter by faith and we stand in grace. Faith is the entrance, friend. We still live by grace. So there they were in the book of Acts. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because the rushing mighty wind came in. And they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was God's will, not man's. Jesus was God's idea, not man's. Man didn't go, you know what, we need a Savior. No, they ever kept doing the law, kept doing what they've always did. Never really worked. That's what we do. We keep doing what we're doing. We keep the same prayer, same things. Now, I'm not going to try fasting. I'm not going to try this. I'll go to this conference. He laid hands. Oh, we hear the testimonies, but it doesn't work for us, friends. We need grace. Stop. Stop. It doesn't matter. He was trying to heal. I couldn't get a light to work. Both of us stepped back and said, God, help me. God, help me. And he chose the way he did it. One was a word of knowledge. One was bringing. John, you have a good memory. I do have a good memory. But, friends, that was a supernatural thing. I couldn't tell you today what it was. It was a rat's nest. I was maxed out. I've done things. I've wired things. I know how to do it. I was maxed out. I was at the end of my rope. And that's only when do you know there was a famine in the days of David year after year? On the year 3, David goes, why, Lord? Year 4 still would have been a famine. Year 5 still would have been a famine. Year 6 still would have. David could have done it the first day and said, why, Lord? But he didn't. It was 3 years. Why? This is not ordinary. When you get tired of the dry times in your life and say, God, help me, he can come in. He told David exactly why there was a famine. Year after year, year after year, he said, we need to step back and say, we keep hitting the same wall. Keep the elevator's open, the sheetrock's there, and grace makes a hole for us to get through. We still need grace today just as much as the day you got saved. We're in him now, and we still function by grace. Everything is by grace. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. Just the fact that you have a desire for God, that was a deposit from grace. You have gifts by grace. People come in, they're gifted. That's just by grace. They didn't choose it. But he doesn't, God doesn't go, you're a good speaker, I want you to be a preacher. No, you stutter, I want you to be a preacher. You're afraid, I call you a mighty man of valor. You're a woman in the back who's an orphan girl, I'm going to call you to be queen. Why? So, because he can show himself, not because he looks how great he is. That's his character and nature to take the little, the downcast, the thing. Jesus bent down in the dirt and he just drew in the dirt. How will he remember? He just took. What can God do with dirt? He can do a lot. He made a man one time with dirt. So all our dry times we give him. We give him our dry times, our hard times, the things that don't work, all our sorrow, and all that dust comes up in the air. And you hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Yeah. It's just a man's fist. Oh, it's just a man's fist. Prepare the chariot and get out of here. Why? Because he foresaw, he knew. Friends, God wants to show you things, what's coming, so you can pray towards that, so you can put your attention towards that, so you can honor that, so you can value that, so you can give weight to that, so you can receive from that. You only can receive what you give weight to. I don't give weight to Oprah Winfrey, Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle, all these people do. Pay thousands of dollars, walk on coals, go to their conferences, and they receive falseness because they give weight to them. I give weight to Jesus. When he speaks, things change. The atmosphere changes. Just like when I walked in, all of a sudden they got sight of this. They greeted me. Why? Because they weren't expecting me. Well, your problem isn't expecting grace. It's expecting your same prayer, same thing that you've always done. You're gifting. You're this. It has limits, but God has no limits. Your gift has limits, but God has no limits. My preaching has limits. Not everybody likes my preaching. Chesley's an awesome preacher. He goes to churches. I would blow him away. They'd hate me. Get out of here. They love Chesley. Chesley's like, no, open up the word. And you, and he could lead them to the Spirit in his nice way. But God has no limits. I have limits. I'm a limited man. God is unlimited. His love is never ending and his resources aren't limited. It's time we step back and said, grace, help me. Grace, help me. And let him choose the way. Not, I need you to help me this way with this person. I need a word of knowledge. I need a prophecy. They go to the conferences. They don't get a prophecy. They walked out bummed. And all the while there is grace with the mop bucket and say, you never asked me. Right. So year after year, there was a famine. In year 3, David asked God, why is there a famine? And grace stepped in and explained. He goes, I'm not telling you. He would have told him the moment. Daniel prayed. The moment he prayed, the angel was sent. I don't see any results. Grace was pushing through. When you couldn't get through, then all of a sudden Michael came. God always has an answer. God always has an answer. He's able to do it, and he's willing to do it. Because you can be willing and not able, or able and not willing. See, we have a God that's willing and able. You can have a millionaire not pick up. There's people that said, I'm going out to lunch with a millionaire. He didn't pick up the tab. He was able but not willing. There's people that want to pay but they can't. God is willing to pick up the check, and he's able to pay for it. Cash, not credit. And so it's like in the Bible, they say, oh, Zerubbabel, before you is a great mountain. And sometimes before us is a great mountain. And we look at the rocks and we look how big the mountain is. When we say, grace, grace, before me, you will be a plain. And so with the problems that have been there, it takes a long time to make a mountain. Some of our problems have been a long time. That healing, that money, how's the money going to come? How's this going to come? When's this going to happen? And we see a mountain and we need to say, grace, grace to that mountain. You will be flat. We say it in faith and expectations. Why? Because we know grace is a person. There's not any time people ask for God's help. He goes, I'm not helping you. Not one time. There's wicked people in the Bible that turn to God and God changed the word. Why? Because they saw their ways. God, forgive me, help me. And he came in. I'm not helping you. That's not the God we serve. We have a Father that leans towards us. He leans towards us. Leaning towards to share benefit. See, we hear definitions and we just repeat it because so-and-so, and that's a true definition. But that's limiting, friends. Grace is unlimited. Grace is unlimited. You look in the Hebrew, look in the Greek, look in the root words over and over, the symbols. Even the word beginning in the Hebrew Bible, it's right to left, and there's symbols and numbers to it. There's a cross in the first word of the Bible. Before you were born, God already had all the solutions for your life. He knew the problems you would face, and he knew the solution because he's the solution. But so many times we go to this, we go to this, we go to this. This has always worked. We've done this. This is always a thing. And all of a sudden, we need to go to grace. It's time to go to grace, the winds of grace. So the talisman message is simply the winds of grace. Amen? Because we need him. Guys, close your eyes.